Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 228. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside nobody. No one is here. Goldfarb, I cannot believe it. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Goldfarb joining me in place of both Ryan Clements and Colin Moriarty.
I love the Vita.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do things differently. He only does everything. Colin Moriarty sequestered doing a review. The PlayStation powerhouse, Ryan Clements, off visiting his mother. So things are happening. It's a big day here. The PlayStation Vita is officially out as of yesterday. And so rather than do a normal Beyond where we just bore you with boring stuff, we thought, hey, I keep saying we, Eagle Farb, like you had anything to do with this. Basically, I was up here interviewing Ego Raptor. Yes, we're still doing the Tester Season 3 send-off interview today. Don't worry.
Thank God.
Yeah,
thank God.
And I thought, what's something we could do? How could I get more people involved? And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. I've worked at IGN now for going on 5 years. March 1st will be 5 years for me here at IGN. I've never seen The Office so excited about a PlayStation product as people are about the PlayStation Vita. Yesterday was the 22nd, and Vitas were just coming in left and right. Everybody was buying these things. Chris Ostertag, Andrew Goldfarb, Mark Ryan, Anthony Gaius went home. Charles rode his bike to GameStop last night after we went out drinking and tried to buy it, but it was closed. A lot of Vita is in the air. A lot
Jack
of Vita to talk
too.
About. Jack, yeah, I was shortening it up.
There's more people.
There are more people who bought it. Just on top of that. But I thought I would do little short segments with some of the new adopters here of the PlayStation lifestyle, see what they think of everything. And Goldfarb, you're at the top of the list, and you're number one.
It's because I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know Andrew Goldfarb, he, of course, is... I had a good name for you last time you were here. Crap.
Dark Knight of News.
Yep. That's right. He's you know, the news guy here at IGN doing all this stuff. Goldfarb imported stuff. He spent something like $430 on his pre-orders or whatever. Run me through PlayStation Vita for you.
So I imported a case and a screen protector and like a card case and all like the nerdy accessories ahead of time. So I had that all waiting for me. And then with the American launch, I got a 32 gig card. I got Rayman, Uncharted, Luminous, and Super Stardust.
Jesus God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, so you're excited.
Oh, very excited, yeah.
What about it excited you to this point?
So, I mean, I'm a big handheld nerd. Like, I mean, I had every iteration of the PSP and every iteration of the DS. And
even the Go? For PSP.
Okay. I did not have the
Burn.
Go. I had 1,000,
Greg Miller's
3,000.
Baby.
Stupid Go.
PlayStation Go is awesome.
So, yeah, but I mean, I love handhelds, and, like, since I was a kid, like, I'm even the dork who was excited by the Dreamcast VMU, because it's, like, since I was a kid,
I can take it on the go!
Exactly! Like, I love that idea. I love the idea of, like, oh, man, I'm playing it at home, and now I have it with me on the road, and blah, blah, blah. So, like, man, as soon as they did that Killzone presentation when it was NGP, like, I was in. Like, I've been hooked since then.
Nice.
And, yeah, I mean, I love it. Like, Rayman... Like, I played the crap out of Rayman on consoles, but, like, having it handheld is awesome. Like,
yeah,
it's
Rayman fits really well.
Game,
yeah,
so.
Rayman fits cool. really well. It looks beautiful, too.
It really does, yeah. The screen's amazing.
So what's it been like here? You're this excited for the PlayStation Vita, and you've taken a job where you don't review games. So you see, we've had the Vita at our desk since December. Has that been torture?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I, like, cry or anything.
I'm sure
but,
you
like,
do.
I do a little bit. But no, I mean, yeah, like, I've seen in the office, and, like, I played with it at E3 a little bit, but other than, like, five-minute hands-on in the office, like, I hadn't gotten a chance to, like, sit down with it for, like, an hour or 2 hours and, like, really play.
Uh-huh.
So, like, that's what I was looking forward to. Like, that's why it's, like, I've just been waiting for the chance to, like, go home and sit down and really be playing it.
All right, last night you did. What was it like?
It was good. So my plan, I was like, oh, I'm going to play Uncharted and get through like 5 chapters and it'll be awesome. But then instead I started Luminous and just played it for like 3 hours.
Luminous is so good.
Yeah, it's incredible.
What's your high score?
It's pathetic. It's like 70,000, I think.
That's that garbage. That's that weak shit. You get that out of my house.
It's like 1/10 of what you have,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
We can't all be pros, Greg.
Yeah, well.
But no, yeah, I love that. Super Stardust is awesome. I really only played around with like the... like basic normal mode or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But the mini games look cool. Like I don't know, like, that's the stuff. Like, those I have downloaded, so it's like I can play those whenever, and I love that. Like, I have, like, I can walk away from any other game, play those, perfect on the go.
Yeah. And then, like, last night, you know, I'm reviewing Plants vs. Zombie here, and I have Beyond today, and then I have Up at Noon today to film as well. So if I don't get it up, don't worry about it. Just buy it. It's awesome. I mean, you shouldn't need me to tell you Plants vs. Zombie is awesome. This is how the review is going to read, too. And the port is great. Works really well. Touchscreens. It's all touchscreen again. Really fun. Really awesome.
And
trophies.
You can shake and do you can crazy
shake,
stuff.
Yeah, you shake it to collect. You don't have to. You can shake it to you collect the to. Sun and the coins. So that's actually nice. But yeah, I was playing that last night. I was reviewing that, got on the train last night to go home and didn't feel like it, but I was able just to switch over to Lumines because it's all right there on the stick.
Yeah, it's really nice. And like, you know, it's funny because even the time I've like demoed games and demoed whatever, I hadn't seen just like the main like Bubbles interface. And like, I like it. Like I thought I would miss the cross media bar because it's like so I'm so used to it by this point.
Yeah.
But the Bubbles are really, really intuitive. It's very similar to like the iPhone layout that you're used to. You can move stuff around. You can like they look all cool and 3D-ish, and it's like it's cool.
So
it's
have cool you run looking... into things it's not doing right yet for you? Are there things you're like, ah, why is it like this?
So for some reason, Wi-Fi on it is really slow. Like even on good connections, I don't know why that is. But no, I mean like. It does seem weird sometimes, like, so you click on a bubble, and then, like, on an iPhone, if you click on an app, it just opens. On this, it opens, and then you have to hit start, and then it, like, launches.
Yeah.
So, like, that extra step, like, a couple times I've clicked it and kind of sat there for 10 seconds and then realized I have to click it again. Like, but that's just, like...
The big start button didn't tell you.
Yeah, well, I'm also very dumb. but no, it's, like, little things like that are, like, growing pains. Like, once I've had it for, like, a day, that'll obviously be out of my system.
So. Gotcha. Now, did you go Wi-Fi or 3G? I know you mentioned
I did Wi-Fi.
Okay. Yeah. So you haven't run into any issues with the 3Gs?
No, with the duping.
Yeah, we'll get to that here in a second, ladies. Don't worry. Not everybody's all sunshine and lollipops like Goldfarb.
It's all downhill from here. yeah, I mean, so I went Wi-Fi partially because like 3G was interesting to me, but I was already getting a 32 gig card, and it's like I had no reason to spend another $50. Like I just don't see myself ever using the 3G.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I understand. So covered it happy. No buyer's remorse from you. You're all set.
No, I mean, none so far. Like, I mean, we'll see. I was talking to someone yesterday, I guess it was Colin, about how, like, everything is great so far. Like, this is, like, one of the best launches for a platform ever in terms of, like, just the sheer number of games available.
Yeah.
But, like, nothing is really announced after that.
So we have Unit 13 at the beginning of March. We know Final Fantasy X is out there, the Metal Gear Collection, stuff like that. But, yeah, then it starts to get hazy as to what are we looking forward to.
So, by, like, June, it's, like, I don't know what I'm going to be playing on this thing. But, yeah, so far, so good right now. One other thing to say about 3G, the thing that talked me out of it, I should say, is that they had that data limit. Like, the fact that, like, I knew data was capped. Like, I wasn't going to be able to download games on the go anyway. I wasn't going to be able to, like, play multiplayer with it. Like, that was the thing talking me out of that.
See, the flip side for me is I'm using a 3G unit now, and it's awesome to be able to get my PSN messages everywhere. And I know this is not a concern for most people, don't get me wrong, but, like, I answering PSN messages with multiple PS3s like we do, like I have like my setup is cumbersome because if I turn on my PS3 at work I can't usually answer my messages there but the problem is it'll download all my messages locally to that so that when I get home and I have time to answer a PSN message from a friend or a fan or whatever I don't have those messages that were downloaded at work so then I start getting all spread out whereas now if I'm on the train like usually I answer tweets and stuff on the train which I can now do 3G I can use Twitter's right there the messaging's right there everything's right there so I can talk to people and not have it be as cumbersome as it has been in the past
that totally makes sense like that's a use case where it's like okay I totally understand that it's just like Yeah, not for me.
Yeah, I understand. Well, let's see what other people have to say in the IGN offices about the PlayStation Vita. Maybe they're all like Goldfarb, and I'm wrong. And no? Oh, my God. What's going to happen next? Beyond! You say Beyond now.
Beyond.
Jeez.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Right now, Colin Moriarty's rolling over in the shallow grave I buried him in last night. So we go from Andrew Goldfarb, Cloud 9 with his PlayStation Vita now to the pits of despair with Mark Ryan Sully and Anthony Gaius. Hey guys, thanks for joining me on a very special podcast Beyond.
Hey, you're thanks welcome. For inviting us.
No problem. So now, I don't understand what your problem is. You both decide you want the PlayStation Vita. You're like, great. And then the 3G bundle comes along, 8 GB stick, free month of 3G service, free game for $300. You jump on it and now you're all wine babies about it.
I wasn't even going to buy a Vita. Originally because the memory was so expensive. But then when the 3G bundle was there, I was like, oh, that offsets it pretty well.
Yeah.
And I had a $50 Best Buy gift card, and I was like, and it comes with Stardust. That is awesome.
Yeah.
but it does not come with Stardust.
What? What happened, Anthony?
So would you have not bought the Wi-Fi one?
I would have just bought a Wi-Fi one.
Oh, you would have. But so, I mean, previously you just said that you weren't going to buy it until you heard about the bundle.
Yeah. Now
your story's already falling apart under cross examination.
But I had
I don't know why I'm taking you down because I'm on your side.
I had a $50 Best Buy gift card. That's what swayed me most.
Okay.
I had an Amazon gift card.
All right. So if people aren't up on the news yet, they're on the train right now, jamming out to us on the iPods and whatnot. The basic deal here is that people got the 3G bundle home. They opened it up and discovered that to get the free month of 3G service, you actually have to pay for the first month. It's the second month that's free. And on top of that, you don't get the free game, Super Stardust, Super Stardust Delta, until your first month of service is up. Then you get the voucher mailed to you.
So both of those free things are contingent on you spending $15.
Yeah.
And waiting a month.
So doesn't it in actuality only shave? So it's another $15 added. Now it's $315.
Yes.
And you get that extra stuff. Big deal. You get a free game. You get the month half off. Why are you so bent out of shape?
You get the game 30 days later.
That is the most annoying part for me.
If it was like Hustle Kings or something, it wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
But it's Stardust, which is ostensibly one of the reasons I bought Vita at launch. Because it's like arguably the best launch game there.
Yeah.
That's what's most upsetting.
I was really excited about playing Stardust yesterday, but I was so upset from this. I'm not paying for Stardust. I expect it for free. I bought a bundle that has a sticker on the outside of the box says you get a game for free.
All right, so we did a PlayStation conversation about this. You should watch it on IGN.com. But to explain that even more, then, so yeah, you didn't like it's not the information was out there. It was in fine print.
Fine print on websites.
Way down the page.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, I'm not trying to sway you, ladies and gentlemen, on if it's wrong, right or wrong. But you go to the bundle page, right? It's got the big picture of the Vita. You scroll down to the features. There's a small asterisk next to the free game. And then there's more information about the Vita. And then way, way down the page, on Amazon at least, there's the information. GameStop, it's also below the fold if you have, like, magazine and newspaper terms.
Yeah. How many, I mean, do you guys, when you buy things on, say, Amazon.com, do you read the description of it? I know what I'm buying in most cases.
Yeah.
I knew what I was buying from what I thought I was buying from the PlayStation blog description, which just said you get a free game and you get a card and a month free service.
So speaking of, to Anthony's point, on the PlayStation blog, John Kohler came and announced the 3G bundle here. And right before he announced that, there was a video, and right above that was describing the launch bundle that talked a little bit about the data pass and that you'd have to pay for the first month, but it's in a giant block of text. And then when he talks about the bundle that Anthony bought, it isn't spelled out there. And that was only talking about, I think, the data pass, not the game information at all. So yeah. it's a big confusing legal mumbo-jumbo part that in the end, I mean, basically I think, especially for people right now listening to this podcast and for us in the industry, it makes so much sense. We know how voucher code works. You know what I mean? Like, how many games do you open now that like, Twisted Metal just had Twisted Metal Black as a voucher code in there. You open it up, there's the code, you're all set, which you'd expect this to be.
That's what I assumed. I assumed it was going to be a code that I would go and enter in the PlayStation Store. So I'm a little... I'm upset by that not being the case. And I feel like you don't mess with your first day adopters.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Oh, this definitely seems like a very poorly calculated move.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the cost to let people that buy the thing day one, you know, download Stardust for free? $0.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They've harmed my goodwill towards them.
So now, so what's the future for you and your Vita then? You're not gonna pay for this month of 3G service?
Probably not.
Okay,
I'm absolutely not.
Okay, I mean, have either of you thought of just like selling the bundle back right now and then buying a Wi-Fi?
At this point, I'm too lazy.
Too much work. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
trust me.
But I'm still going to play a ton of games on it. Right, like I'm looking forward to whatever the BioShock game is eventually. Oh, yeah, I know. I'll play Call of Duty on it, so I know I'm going to get probably multiple years of use out of this thing. It's just that my initial day one thing, I got it home and it became infinitely less exciting.
That's always the worst part, right? Like when you you have to do a firmware right away. And we were talking about this last night, how backwards the firmware is, because it's like, hey, thanks for setting up your Vita. Now, do you want to use your PSN? Yes. Oh, you have to firmware to do this. Oh, okay, cool. Do you want to sign in with your PSN? Yes. Well, you need the firmware to do this.
I was like, what do I do?
That's an amazing bug that I can't believe that affects every single person that says yes, I want to use my PSN account.
Yeah. If you're stuck, ladies and gentlemen, just say no, not at this time. Enter your birthday, and then you get to move on, and you can log in later. Yeah. But yeah, so I understand the thing here. I'm sure some people out there, here's the thing. A lot of people, I put up the story yesterday. Mark Ryan tipped me off to it. We took some photos.
You guys were very fast with that turnaround time.
Problem was, kids are like, oh, this is old news. We knew this, blah, blah, blah. And So there's going to be people out there who have no sympathy for you.
Yeah.
That this information was in the GameStop press release.
I realize that it is largely on me. I did not read fine print. I just feel like...
It's not on you. I totally disagree with that. I mean, I would have loved if I was up on what the kids were saying, and they already knew about it. That's awesome. You know, I wish we had responded to tips for that better, or they had communicated. Whatever happened, I wish I knew that before. But... it being in the fine print is no excuse.
Yeah.
No excuse whatsoever.
I see. I it's interesting. You guys blame yourself a little bit. I blame myself a little bit, and definitely the industry in general. Not the industry. That sounds fucking really, really fucking jerky. But what I'm saying is somebody on Twitter tweeted me saying, blah, 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 this isn't what it seems. But that was pretty much it. And I couldn't get from the Twitter what he was trying to point out to me. Because when I tried to read all the information there, I didn't see the problem. You know what I mean? Because it was so jargony. And I think this is... Now we're getting way off topic of PlayStation Vita. I think this dials back to an interesting thing. I was talking to somebody last night for a college essay she's writing. And about what is games journalism, right? And I think this is a good example of us not being journalists anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I have a degree in journalism, and I consider this job, I'm a critic. You know what I mean? I'm very, I'm a critic of games. I come and I tell you my opinion. I insert myself into the thing, which is what I never did when I was writing for a newspaper, when I considered myself a journalist. And this is a good example of, I think, us trying to, living in the day and age we do, and not protecting the consumer or doing real reporting on it, right? It was, here's this PlayStation blog post, here are the links to Amazon and this. Cool, that's the information. I got to go do
Figure it out.
I have to go do my next story, and I have to go do my next review. There wasn't, from me, I wrote the story about the thing saying, hey, they're up on Amazon, they're up on GameStop, here's what Kohler said on the blog. And I didn't do my due diligence to go through every line of text in that thing. Because, like, right, if I was writing a newspaper story about that or about a court case or whatever, I'd be held accountable and I'd have to read everything, and it would be up to me to get that scoop, to get drilled down to that information. So I blame myself as well.
Nah.
Sorry for anybody I misled or that I didn't get to. It's just that...
You're one man.
Again, again, like I'm saying, I think of myself more as a critic. Like, usually if you notice on IGN, we don't write about sales. We don't write about price drops outside of the PlayStation update, right? Like, it's like... My job is to tell you if a game's good or whatever. We're not here to advertise products for people, but this was the, you know, we had already been harping so hard on how expensive the Vita was and memory cards that a bundle was, you know.
I was very happy for it initially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I blame myself. I ruined everything.
I think you're being a little bit harsh on yourself, but
it's an interesting takeaway, because I didn't see, like, you know, we look at Joystick and Kotaku and everybody else, and I didn't see them, and don't get me wrong, I'm not an eagle-eyed reader of either site, but I didn't see them in the weeks leading up to this talking about it either.
Now, I didn't really see anybody pick up on this.
And so anybody who is bitching about us writing about it now, it's more because now people are coming to us about it. Yesterday, the things I heard the most about on Twitter were this 3G thing and the whole, I can't log in, it needs firmware, what do I do? So, yeah. But you're still going to keep the device. You're still going to play games. Are you both just going to buy Stardust now? Is that the future for you?
Someday I probably will. I'm probably going to.
Now it's just a bad taste
for you. I really want to play Stardust, and I wanted to play it last night, and it's only $10.
Yeah.
But, like, my principles, I'm like, I feel like I've already bought this game, and I would feel like an even bigger chump if I go out and spend $10 to download it again.
Okay, yeah. So Anthony, I know Mark Ryan, so I'll let him go last on this one. What do you think Sony's response to this is going to be?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. They're going to be like, oh, well,
it
was out there.
Light a cigar with the
information
$1,000
was out there.
Yeah. All right, Mark Ryan?
What do I think the response is going to be? I don't know. It sort of depends on how big a stink people make about it.
Yeah.
If you know, I've seen in our comments a lot of people saying, oh, this is old news, or it's in the fine print, trying to sort of make excuses for Sony. If that's the overwhelming sentiment, maybe they won't do anything. Personally, I think if enough people make a stink about it like we are, I think that they really should step up and say, okay, here's at least a download code for Stardust. And you know, the free month, I think they do owe that too, but I don't really care about that.
Gotcha. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the rundown on the 3G PlayStation Vita happenings here in the office. Let's go grab somebody else, see what their impressions of it are. Beyond!
Beyond.
There you go. Good job. And now we're joined by the enemy.
Oh, no.
Stephen Hopper, executive editor of IBN? IGN Xbox.
IBS.
Doesn't roll off the tongue. How you doing, buddy?
Great. How are you, Greg?
Good. I brought you in here, of course, because you are an Xbox fanboy, and you hate the Vita, I'm sure.
Boo. No, actually, I really, really like the Vita.
Excellent. Now, you reviewed a bunch of games for us.
I did.
You did the Marvel vs. Capcom one. You did Army Corps of Hell. And one more, didn't you? Forgetting one? No? I know you played some Uncharted for a little bit.
Yeah, what God, I am drawing a blank.
Did we add something late in the game? I don't remember. Anyways, you've reviewed stuff. You've played it extensively, and did that convince you to buy one?
It did.
Okay, were you on the fence before you got these reviews from us?
I was. At first I was pretty, apprehensive to buy one just because, it was expensive. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know what to expect in terms of, the software coming out of the gate. And I had just bought a 3DS, the year before. And, when that came out, granted, it's doing pretty well now.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was a pretty tepid launch for that
Pilot
system.
Pilot Wings, and that was about it. Yeah. You had nothing to play with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, I was a little burned by that.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. So I wasn't really in the market to pick up another handheld. But after spending a decent amount of time with the Vita, playing some of the bigger launch titles, Uncharted, Marvel vs. Capcom, and a few others. Lumines was another great one.
Oh, yeah, good old Lumines.
I love that one.
Me too.
After spending some time with it, I just really got excited and reinvigorated in the idea of picking up the system. And I really like the connectivity features. I think that's a really huge part of the Vita experience, being able to actually get trophies and, sync up with your friends and that kind of stuff.
Okay, Hopper. So here's my philosophy on the Vita when we talk about it. Because obviously for the last few months, it's been dominated by bad sales in Japan. That's the only thing we can report on because we didn't have, nobody else had the system. So Everybody wants to talk about the one thing that's in the news.
Yeah.
What I find is anytime somebody uses the Vita or fools around with the Vita, they walk away liking it. Mm-hmm. So, do you think, how is it going to sell here at launch? And then does this have the kind of legs the Wii did? Because remember, the Wii, we all Trojan horsed it into our house, right? Wii came out and people were like, oh man, I can play NES games, great. And we bought it. And then, at Thanksgiving, your mom came over like, this is amazing, and bought it for Christmas.
Yep.
Is this one of these things where you think it's going to sell all right now and then get picked up by when people actually see it?
I think it's a different kind of... I agree with you that it's going to be a slow burn for the Vita. I don't think it's going to do gangbusters right out of the gate. But I do think it's kind of a word of mouth. Obviously, it's not going to be the type of system that, people's grandmas are going to be picking up to play bowling.
Yeah, obviously. I didn't mean like that. throwing it through the window.
But yeah, when people actually see it in action and realize that they can get as close as you can get to a full-blown sit-on-the-couch console experience in a handheld, I think that's really going to give it some legs.
Mm-hmm.
There are huge obstacles that it needs to get over, obviously, the iPhone being one of the biggest. And when people think mobile gaming, that's usually where their minds go to these days.
Yeah.
But I think that, if you can really get people to look at the Vita and what it's capable of graphically and in terms of what kind of game experiences that it can offer versus the other systems, then, it could definitely do that.
Where do you come down on the whole, this is the last generation of handhelds? After this, handheld gaming goes away. Is that something you've ever bought into? Do you think it's a possibility?
I don't think so. Well, probably not this generation. They're obviously... definitely has been a huge change, a really big sea change for mobile gaming just over the past couple of years, with the iPhone launching. That pretty much changed everything.
Yeah. I think it was the PlayStation Move that changed everything. But then after that, it was definitely the iPhone.
Yes. What you said.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's going to be tough for any publisher, regardless of how big you are, how well known you are, how established you are in the gaming space, to really come up with something that will compete with what people can get from an iPhone. You can talk on it, you can throw it in your pocket, and you can play some pretty, great looking games on it.
For me, that's right now is the gap, right? Is that when I don't game on my iPhone because one, I don't traditionally like touch controls, especially when they're eating up the entire screen because the screen is so small on it.
Yeah.
And next, I want something big on the go. My dream one day is to have Fallout of some kind on the Vita or any handheld for that matter, so that when I go on a plane, when we go to E3, I can chip away at it then. Because that's for me how questing works the best, right? Oh sure, I'll pick up this quest from this town guy and go fetch this and do that and come back and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a huge game and a huge story, but then these little parts of it. Whereas I don't want the Angry Birds experience. Infinity Blade hasn't spoken to me yet. And it's one of those things where if iPhone or any of these other mobile phone devices can get to that point where they're giving us those kind of games, that's when it, for me, becomes an interesting thing of what happens to real handhelds, quote-unquote. I'm making air quotes.
There definitely is going to be this middle ground, this compromise between the two. We're going to see a lot more of these kind of bite-sized experiences, but, through huge high produced games. Like, I mean, we are going to see that. I think I think that there is in the near future an opportunity for someone to make a really high profile Fallout style game where you do just that, where you pick up a mission, you complete it, you go back and cash it in, and you know, you're done playing the game for that bus ride or that plane ride or whatever.
Yeah, the real, I mean, it'll be, when Naughty Dog, or I guess not Naughty Dog because they're owned by Sony, but when a publisher, or I'm sorry, a developer that big decides that they're making this iPhone game, you know what I mean, that they're doing this, it'll be interesting to see what East Sleep Play comes up with, Jaffe wanting to do browser stuff now on top of that, those kind of people. But when you see someone of, you know, these, like, you know, Bethesda or somebody to that caliber of game that says, all right, now we're making it for this, that's when I think you'll really have to worry.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, that's, well, I don't know if worry is the right word.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
I
think, worry if you're a fanboy who cares about all these handheld and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, there's definitely an opportunity there, and you know, the technology is certainly getting there. Yeah. So.
And I guess there's always going to be that niche market, right, that wants Uncharted or wants Mario. And if those are, if there's only one portable platform to go to get those, then I guess then you'll always see that. But
yeah, I mean, unless, you know, Nintendo makes a phone someday, or Sony makes something that's not the
Xperia Play.
Xperia
Play, man, it had so much potential because it was based on the design of the Go, which sold so well.
It did so hot. Did gangbusters.
Yeah, I should have just called the PlayStation phone. But I digress.
Indeed.
Stephen Hopper, thank you so much for giving me some outside the PlayStation sphere influence here.
You bet, Greg. Thanks
for
having
me
on.
No problem. If you want more Stephen Hopper's influence and sphere, listen to Podcast Unlocked every Wednesday on IGN.com.
Bleep, bloop.
Beyond. Now you say beyond.
Oh, beyond.
There you go. Hey, what say you... damn it. I'm not going to edit this out. What say you and I take a brief intermission, listener? We've been talking a lot about PlayStation Vita, and the PlayStation Vita is playing a big part on the Tester Season 3. As always, Tester Season 3 premieres on the PlayStation Network on Tuesday. Then here on Thursday, Podcast Beyond, you get to get an exclusive interview with the person who got voted off, the latest freaking loser from the Tester Season 3. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. As promised, the next loser in the Tester Season 3. It's Ego Raptor. Hey, Ego Raptor, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, GM?
I can't complain, good sir. I can't complain. So let's dial it back to episode one. You get up there and admit that you know nothing about video games, PlayStation, and that you're only there for your YouTube fans. What the hell were you thinking?
Hey, wait a second. I didn't know anything about video games.
You got no trophies. You got no business in the tester house. That's what I say.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. That isn't actually my account. I didn't have a PSN account when I was on the show. So whoever Ego Raptor is on PSN who has 14 trophies, you made me look bad, bro.
Someone else out there totally screwed up your flow in the house.
Yeah, definitely. Plus, I don't even know if that's a valid argument.
No, of course it isn't. That has nothing to do with the business of getting into games. Now, Ego Raptor, when I saw episode one, we did the cast-off interview, and I was like, this Ego Raptor kid, he should have gone. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's up there for this YouTube. And then Ryan Clements, who couldn't be with us today, told me that you do all the cool videos online and who you were, and I was like, then he should stay forever. So before pre-tester, what were you doing and what do you do now? Who are you? Why are you a big deal on the internet?
Boy, you sure talk fast.
I do. Okay. I've been told that once or twice. Do you need me to slow it down?
No, it's cool. It's just, it's impressive.
Well, good. I'm glad I could show you the skills it takes to make the number one PlayStation podcast on the internet.
Oh, sweet, dude. Hey, so I guess I just make cartoons on YouTube and Newgrounds.com.
Uh-huh.
That's about it, really. Well, I do make that other show, Sequelitis, but that one's pretty cool, I think. Have you seen it?
No, I've seen the cartoons. I haven't seen Sequelitis.
I am offended.
Yeah, would you vote me off? You'd vote me off your show when I'm trying to be the tester here on Ego Raptor.
I wouldn't even accept the audition, bro.
That's understandable.
No, I'm just kidding, man. I like you.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad we're getting off to the right foot. So, talk to me a little bit about the tester house, then. So, you come in. What was your background with PlayStation? You didn't have a PS3, but you wanted to be a tester, or did you just want to get on there and get your cartoons out to more people?
No, I had a PS3. I just never put it online.
Okay.
But I only just got it recently anyway. I used to always play it at a friend's house, so I never felt like I really needed one.
Gotcha.
What was the other question?
Were you out of your element? Like, you know, you get in there, all these kids are super... I don't even remember what the question was. It probably wasn't that good. I want to sweat. Clements is way at us down. This time you get voted off, though. Did you see it coming? Because you got the two girls fighting with each other. You're thinking, oh, man. At least one of them's going down in flames for sure.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming. And I didn't see it coming even after I was voted off. I was like, what? What just happened?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I wasn't upset because I was kind of sick of it. So
you're kind of sick of the tester?
Yeah, I just didn't, I don't know. I missed home.
Ah, okay.
And we had to take cold showers.
Sounds like a concentration camp. Oh, I'm glad you got out of it.
A little bit. We were surrounded by barbed wire and stuff, so that wasn't very inviting.
Yeah. And plus, you had to keep sleeping on the couch, right? That's where Brent banished you after episode one.
Well, the couch wasn't that bad, actually. The reason I slept on the couch, and they didn't show this on the show, but on night two, I slept on the couch again when I had a bed, because I was just like, the beds didn't look comfy, and everyone was already asleep, and I didn't want to disturb. And I was on the top bunk, so I didn't want to, like, climb up there and just be like, and wake everybody, and whoever I'm sleeping above is just like, man, fuck, how do you grab a guy? So
you took one for the team?
Yeah, not everyone's going to tell you that. They're going to say, you Raptors only kept here because of this popularity.
Do you think that's what it was? Do you think that's what kept you around? Was the tester riding your coattails, your internet coattails?
I do think that's why it was kept around. Mm. But with the interview, it was a little... Because they made me seem like I was just coming out and being like, oh, look at me, I'm so popular on the internet. They were asking me questions specifically about it.
Okay, so they were leading you there.
Yeah, like in hindsight, I probably should have been like, you know what? I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about games.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that would be the optimal answer, but...
But you had cockroaches on your face. You had to live. You had to go with what they were giving you.
Yeah, it's stressful when you have cockroaches on your face.
That is very true. I think those are the words of wisdom from this interview here on The Beyond. Ego Raptor, what are you up to now? Where can people find you if they want to watch some of your crazy cartoons?
You can go to youtube.com/EgoRaptor, or you could go to EgoRaptor.newgrounds.com. Those are my two hubs.
Cool.
And I also have a website, EgoRaptor.net. Man, nobody cares about that. I'm not an ad man.
I know. Just trying to help you out, bro.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate that. But I'm not a very good salesman of my own.
Well, that's okay. Sum it all up. Final question. Tester 3, was it a good experience?
Yeah.
A ringing endorsement of the tester experience.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it again, but I guess I'm glad I did it.
Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, Ego Raptor.
Yeah, I learned a lot from it, so.
Okay. Well, good. I wish you luck, buddy. Take care there in your life and making the cartoons. Keep making us chuckle on the internet.
Thanks, man. Keep talking fast.
I'll do that. Bye.
Girl, you know you've
got my heart. Player 2, press start. What? Oh, there it's. I'm zoomed out. I was very zoomed out. That didn't make any sense. Hold on, I'm coming in tight, so I see the levels. There we go.
It's all your fault.
It is. This is what happens, Audrey, when Clements is in here to run the podcast. Nothing goes well for me when
it's like an SNSD background.
Yeah, when I have to come over here and do everything. Audrey, that was Ego Raptor. He did a great interview about being kicked off the tester season 3. I'm sure you were enthralled by it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
No, I'm okay. Audrey Drake, ladies and gentlemen, from the IGN Nintendo team. How are you, Audrey?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Is this not Nintendo voice chat?
This is not Nintendo voice chat. Yeah, I know. We don't have as good art. You get quite the awesome art. Audrey, lay it on me. PlayStation Vita, are you buying one?
Greg, no.
Why not?
Not for a while. I mean, I will eventually get one, just like I eventually got a PSP, but
yeah.
Right now I'm not impressed enough to spend the very, very lots of money.
Very, very lots of money. Is that the biggest barrier to entry, like, for you right now? What game would they have to have out the gate to make you spend the $250/$300?
You know, honestly, I'd probably spend anything on it if it had a sequel to Catherine.
Oh, nice.
That makes no sense, but if they did that, I'd probably have bought one day one.
Okay. Now, Audrey, everybody knows you're a lifelong Nintendo fan.
A little bit.
Now you write about Nintendo for a living.
Yeah.
Nintendo has been doing handhelds pretty much longer than anybody else in the game.
They invented portable gaming.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Exactly. So, what do you look at the PlayStation Vita and think then?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what I think the biggest barrier with the Vita right now is that they are taking console experiences and just sort of putting them on a handheld rather than making experiences just tailor-made for a handheld, which is what Nintendo sort of excels at. And I don't know, for me, I have a PS3, so if I want to play Uncharted, I want to go play it on a big-ass screen. You know? I don't want to play it on a little...
You don't want to play Uncharted on the train. You don't want to do the rubbing touch games
exactly.
to make charcoal rubbings.
I don't want to touch the back. I don't want to do it. You know, the sticks are cool, but they don't feel as good as just the PlayStation 3 controller.
Right, right. So. Having a DualShock in your hand. Right,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Okay. So then what does Sony need to learn from Nintendo right now?
They need to learn how to make experiences, like I said, that just belong on a portable, little bite-sized things that just capture the interest of hardcore gamers, casual gamers, everyone, you know?
Now, do you think there's something to a strategy of not doing that? Because then, right, everybody talks about how handhelds are doomed. Handhelds are doomed because of the iPhone and everything else. So people are getting their Angry Birds bite-sized experience somewhere else. And, like, so far, you know, on what they've launched with, right, they're launching with... larger games, like Rayman's a direct port of the console version, Marvel vs. Capcom, Uncharted, stuff like that, and they're kind of going for just the hardcore gamer. Do you think that's a misstep?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the problem is that, and by bite-sized games, I didn't mean, like, cut the rope. For me, that's less than a bite. Like, that's a last resort game for me. But, the thing is that, for me, it doesn't even appeal to hardcore gamers all that much. Like, obviously, if you're a hardcore PlayStation fan or you just have tons of money, you're going to buy it. If I had all the money in the world, I'd have bought it day one, too.
Yeah.
But the thing is that if you're a hardcore gamer for me and you already have a 3DS, you know, like, you're covered in the portable department.
Yeah.
You know, you don't... And if you want that experience, you're going to play your PS3. So there's just... not really enough to appeal to the hardcore or casual audience, as far as I'm concerned.
What have you taken away from the Japanese sales numbers? Do you think that we're going to see something like that in the U.S.? Or was it kind of the perfect storm, as we talk about sometimes, about how the 3DS has Monster Hunter and Mario Kart? So.
I mean, like, it didn't do so well in Japan, as you know. But, I mean, you can't really tell a lot from launch. I mean, the PS3 bombed at launch.
Oh, God,
it took a long time to find its footing, but
eventually
it did.
If
they figure out their place in the market, they'll find their way eventually. But I expect it to do maybe a little better overseas, but probably not amazing.
Do you think there's something to be said for capping Nintendo's strategy? Because, you know, obviously 3DS came out and it sold all right, and then people were like, wait, this sucks, nobody wants it. Boo, 3DS!
Then
all this happened, then there was a price drop, and then there was all the Christmas games. It was yay, 3DS!
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a lot to that, because, like, I mean, I bought the 3DS at launch, but I was a sucker, you know? I was banking on the promise of Mario, the promise of Zelda, you know, the AR games, all that stuff was enough for me. But for most people, it wasn't, and it suffered because of that. But when it dropped down $80, then it was like, well, I'm kind of dumb if I don't get this, because it's the same cost as a DS Fat when that first came out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think if they drop the price, it'll help them a lot.
How much do they need to drop it for you to get on board?
I mean, if they did $80, like 3DS did, honestly, I would consider it.
Okay. We'll wait and see what they do.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right. If you want to hear more about Nintendo, listen to Audrey on Nintendo Voice Chat, which airs usually on Tuesdays.
But we've been really, really bad pandas about it recently.
Yeah, I see you guys on Twitter always apologizing. And then you have our podcast computer, definitely not awesome all the time. I see it eats half your podcast sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, great. Give me Beyond before you go.
Beyond!
And to close out this very special episode of Podcast Beyond, none other than the Raging Canadian Charles on. Yeah, Charles, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Greg. I'm honored that you would invite me on. Thank you.
Charles, you're a ray of sunshine in my life. I want you on every Beyond if possible. But you're here to talk about PlayStation Vita for a very special Podcast Beyond today. And you don't own one.
Not yet. Although I will say, less than 10 minutes before sitting down to talk into this microphone here, yeah. I was at a GameStop trying to buy one, and they said they were out of the Wi-Fi models. And I didn't want a 3G one.
No, I understand that. You don't want to be like these crybabies, Gaios and Mark Ryan in here. Freaking.
Oh, are they complaining
about they're blubbering about how they didn't read the fine print on this thing and they didn't get what they wanted. What they, whatever. They got what they deserved.
Well, I mean, I'm going to get... I do want to buy one now. Yeah. And it took a while for me to sort of arrive at that
decision. Yeah, see, this is what's interesting about Charles in this aspect. I mean, there's millions of things interesting about Charles. But in the PlayStation Vita front, up until pretty much yesterday morning, you were like, when's there going to be a price drop? I don't want one.
Right. Yeah. I was not so interested in picking one up. I figured, you know, maybe there'll be a price drop in 4 to 6 months, something like that.
So what changed? Yesterday everybody got them and you're like, well, I got to get one too.
Well, everyone started getting them and I still haven't played Rayman. I think, and I was going to wait to play that on PC, but I think that's an experience that could be really cool on Vita.
Definitely.
I think that could work. And honestly, like I like having Lumines around on a portable device.
Yes, you do like having Lumines.
I mean, I know it's an older game, but it's something I played a lot on PSP and something that, you know, I miss Lumines. I miss having that experience. And Super Stardust looks great.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. It's because it seemed like you were so adamant that you wanted to wait till that price drop.
Well,
and then...
I mean, I just sort of figured that Vita would just be a massive failure. I mean, and but it looks like it's a lot of fun. Like the screen is so nice, and it feels like I have large hands.
Yeah,
and it feels comfortable in my hands. And I don't the thing I was initially concerned about.
I like that you're pantomiming holding it, but it's like the size of a loaf of bread.
Yes, the way I'm gesturing would make it about 17 times the size that it actually is. But what I was really concerned about when it was first announced was the back touchscreen.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how that would factor into how I would actually hold it so that I didn't accidentally, like, kill my character in a game or screw something up. And they do have those little, they're like indents in the back of the system that you can kind of hook your fingers into.
Yeah.
And holding it that way is actually pretty comfortable. And that, I was concerned that it would be like, I would be knuckling over my hands and would get like pressure points would develop after extended time of play, but it seems really comfortable. So okay. I'm not as concerned about that. Of course, this is coming from somebody who played, and I'm talking about myself. I played a lot of Monster Hunter on PSP and dealt with finger hooking.
You did the old hook hand.
The old hook finger.
You had to do it.
To control the camera. So maybe I can put up with a lot, and the Vita seems like a big improvement in that regard.
No, totally. I mean, I've played a lot of PSP, too, over the years, and it's one of those things, holding it definitely makes it feel like, wow. There's times where I'll stop and get caught up in how it feels, you know what I mean? Because it's got that plastic shell, and it's very light in your hands, and you can sit in bed. Like, that was the thing. My example is always Mario Kart. When I got Mario Kart 7 on 3DS, and I tried to play it in bed, and it would get all top-heavy, and my hands would start to hurt, so I'd just sit up in bed in the pitch-black room and play, whereas with the Vita... Even with PSP, laying in bed and then having to hook finger, it started to give you hand cramps, whatever.
Right.
But so far, the games I'm playing on Vita, even Lumines, I'm able to sit there and tap the screen and do whatever and not freak out about it.
Yeah, I've definitely gotten face smashed by an iPad before.
That's,
happened on multiple occasions. Like, oh, this is propped up properly. Oh, God, my face.
Yeah, I always enjoy trying to watch Netflix on it. Yeah, your arms getting, you're switching arms trying to watch it while laying down.
But I mean, an iPad is something that I figured would kill Vita. And if there is like a new iPad that's going to be announced sometime soon. I definitely think that there's overlap there.
Yeah,
for sure.
So the question I've been asking a lot of people is, I mean, like, do you, the example I keep saying, sorry for listeners, you've heard this before, but you know, everybody who seems lukewarm or whatever about a Vita, once they hold it or see somebody playing it or play with it themselves, they seem to be sold on it. Do you think that speaks to how it's going to infiltrate America here and like actually sell well, or is it not going to sell that well? Or?
No, I still don't think it's going to sell well in terms of general population, like reaching beyond the core gamer demographic. Because I mean, the people at IGN, the people that probably listen to podcasts at IGN, everyone is very much entrenched in gamer culture and follows a lot of details about it. So we are all kind of almost on board with that already. Because, I mean, yes, a console experience in your hand, like, yeah, of course, that's great for us.
Yeah.
And people are willing to pay for that. Pay quite a bit.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, the thing that still irritates me is just how expensive the...
Memory cards.
The memory is, the storage. But, I mean, I think we're a much easier sell on that concept than if Sony is really trying to break into a broader market with this this product, and people who, you know, haven't bought portable gaming machines before, people who, you know, aren't really familiar with gaming or something like that, I don't think this product is ever going to reach those people. It's too hardcore. it's too much of a I mean, it's not a niche product, but it's just it's too much technology that I don't think people would see as really essential.
So now, I was talking to Audrey about this in the last segment. Do you think that was part of the PlayStation like idea, the mantra for this, is that, you know, like with PSP we tried to do everything and it did everything somewhat well. Now fuck that, we're going to do games and we're going to do the PSN experience and like we only want the hardcore gamer. Because, like, yeah, my grandmother's never going to buy this. It's not going to be, or I guess it was Hopper. It's never going to be like the Wii where everybody just picks it up all of a sudden.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, that seems to be the strategy. I don't know if that's really a very good strategy.
Yeah.
But having seen the product, I like the product. It's a really cool machine. The games seem really good. And I'm excited to play it. I worry about its longevity in terms of how long, like, if a developer is trying to develop a project and they're just like, well, what do? Do I make a Vita game or do I make, you know, an iPhone game?
Yeah, yeah.
Put something up on the App Store. I think, you know, 95% of people are going to be like, well, of course I'm going to
make
an App
Store. That'll be the tipping point, right? When, like, developers like Bethesda are, like, actually thinking about, well, I'm going to make an iPhone game. That, like, when that technology catches up to what they want to be able to do with the game, that's when we'll be in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be very interesting to see over, I think it's, you know, probably about 2 years is going to be make or break for this device. You know, I definitely think it's kind of the last, I don't think Sony's going to, after Vita, I don't think there's anything after Vita for Sony in terms of dedicated gaming portables.
On the go. Yeah.
But I mean, also just the price of the games themselves, I think, is really prohibitive. They're really expensive. They're what, like, if you download
$40, and then there you get a little bit of a break if you download them.
Yeah.
But then there are the, you know, like Stardust is $10, Tales from Space, Mutant Blobs Attack is $8. I mean, like, but those are definitely the rare exception. Lumines is $40. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you want the full experience, you're almost paying for a full-on game.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that I don't think that type of pricing structure is really going to be viable just with, and I mean, this is removed from this, but in the PC market, just the continued popularity of free-to-play and really low-priced titles where it's just, you can't have a high-priced product and expect it to sell really well unless it's already this huge established franchise.
Yeah.
So it just seems to be going completely against
everything that's happening.
The entire trend of the industry is all about, you know, getting people into the experience with as low cost and low technology barrier to entry as possible.
Yeah.
And then
Sony's like, fuck it.
Completely the other way and makes this really, I mean, it's a pricey system to own and own software for and upgrade with memory cards and things like that. You get a case, you get a screen cover, although I know the screen covers aren't very expensive, but
you don't need that. Don't if you're listening to Lazy Jump, don't get a screen cover. Don't be one of these people. Hopper is waiting. He bought a Vita. He hasn't played it yet because he's waiting on his screen cover. It's like, don't do that. Like, Tina tried to put one on. She got one of the bubbles in it, and you know what that. I've been using
then
my.
You just have to throw the whole thing out.
Exactly. It's a one-time use, right in the trash. No, yeah, like, I've been using mine since December, and I haven't had any screen problems, like scratches or whatever.
Yeah.
Your call.
So, I mean, in terms of that, and Sony just moving completely in the other direction, I don't know if that's a really smart move or they just weren't paying attention. I have to believe they were paying attention, so they're just banking on the fact that everyone who is basically like us.
Yeah.
Who plays games all the time and is always on top of news and everything like that, is everyone's going to adopt. And hopefully that's enough to support the platform. But I don't really think it will be.
It's an interesting risk. I mean, I think internally their whole idea behind this was to be the opposite of the Apple, you know, be the yin to the iPhone's yang, right? Because the iPhone is 99 cents and it's this, that, and the other. And they're like, no, basically they're doing what I said they should have done at GDC a few years ago when they debuted PlayStation Move. When they came out on PlayStation Move, I wrote about how I got sick to my stomach because they were just sinking to the lowest common denominator. And I've always said if I was running Sony, what I would have done is come out at that GDC and been like, yep, the Wii's been a huge success. We wish them well. I know Microsoft's working on this motion control thing. That's great. We're PlayStation and we're about games. Here's, like, you know, the next blah, 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 blah. And they instead made a gamble on this move and it didn't pay off. And now it seems like the Vita is, at the moment at least, very much like, here are really cool games. Some of them use touch and some of them use this, but you don't have to use it in this and blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it works out for them. It's admirable coming from somebody who, you know, likes the more hardcore game experience, who would want a more in-depth game. You know, it's admirable that people are still willing to throw that much money at making this kind of product that, that can support these games. I'm really nervous about its long-term potential and how quickly it may come crashing down. However, in the meantime, I still kind
of
want to get one.
Of course. Yeah, that's the whole thing. Everybody still wants to get one. Even Mark Ryan and Anthony all bent out of shape about it. They're still going to play it. They still want to buy it.
Yeah, I mean, I complain a lot, but really, I'm going to get one, and I'm going to play some games. And I think it could be a really cool machine if a lot of role-playing games start coming out for it.
Yeah, totally.
It could be a great solution for portable role-playing games.
Have you looked into... Shit. What used to be Ruin, now it's Warrior's Lair.
Diablo style.
Exactly.
I'm absolutely interested in that game. Yeah. I just hope more like full production role playing games do come out. Japanese
totally. Role playing
games, things like that. I think it could be a really, really good machine for that, just because of the visuals, and hopefully the loading times don't take 8 million hours to load anything, and you don't have to listen to a UMD disc spin and scratch.
Your battery slowly going down
in
just
the background. Just staring in horror as the battery drains, and it's just like, ugh. But that's what I'm excited about, and that's what I hope to see develop. And by adopting early, you know, maybe I help out somewhat.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Charles, for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. And I mean, I have an iPad, I have an iPhone, I have all those games. They're great, but you know, and they can be fun. A lot of them are. I have a lot of fun with those style of games that are a little bit lighter in the depth department.
Yeah.
You know, I would certainly consider even playing a Vita at home.
Yeah.
Totally. When I'm not in transit, I don't have to be like on public.
Yeah, I like to play mine with like, you know, the news on or something in the background that, you know, you don't have to like be super engaged in. Not Sons of Anarchy. I gotta watch that. I gotta be focused.
Yes.
Gotta know what's happening.
So as soon as I do find a Wi-Fi model,
yeah,
or maybe I'll just order it online. I'm gonna make the purchase and I hope for the best.
Great. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on a very special Podcast Beyond, episode 228. What do you think of the PlayStation Vita? Did you pick one up? Did you not? There's plenty of ways to get involved. You can email us at beyond@ign.com, which is usually where we take reader questions. I didn't do it this week because I got nobody else to work with, so I just brought in people. You can also, of course, follow us on Twitter. IGN is @IGN. I'm @GameOverGreggy. Andrew Garfield? No, that's not his name. That's the guy from Spider-Man.
I wish that
right?
was his name. I don't know. I'm not the comic book
that,
guy.
That's the guy from Spider-Man. Andrew Goldfarb is at Garfep, G-A-R-F-E-P. Anthony Gaius is Chuff Money, C-H-U-F-M-O-N-E-Y. Mark Ryan is at M-R, Sally, S-A-L-L-E-E. Stephen Hopper is simple, Stephen with a V, _Hopper. Audrey is Game On Amica. I don't know what the hell she was thinking. Amica, A-M-I-N-K-A. Charles Onyet is also simple. He is C Onyet. I think I already said I was Game Over Greggy, but if I didn't, I'm forgotten.
The letter C, not S-E-E.
No, don't do that. That'd be actually a really funny one. You should do C on yet, too.
It would be hilarious.
Again, Podcast Beyond. This is fun and everything, but what pays the bills is IGN.com, so please go to IGN.com and read our articles and watch our videos and have a gay old time, as they say, and just have fun and walk around and read articles and whatever. Just stick around on IGN, all right? You can search things. It's great. Nobody says a gay old time anymore.
Nobody does say that.
You're like 10, that is a real saying. I'm not saying anything. Don't use gay in a negative fashion, everybody. Don't be like those people. Right, Charles?
Sage advice.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Charles, give me a Beyond before you go.
Beyond.
Thank you. Beyond! I'm not going to do an ending song either. I'm really lazy. I'm sorry. Goodbye.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
Save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes.
Crypts, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.